Yeah, and Cappy's here, and Clinton Yates, Big CY, both here. They're going to take care of afternoons today, and this is where we mix it all up.
Love boat.
The love boat.
Cappy, any other notes about today's show?
Feedback.
So here, I want to know this from you guys because I'm very curious. Tell me, I want a review. I know you've talked about it earlier, but... Clinton, I don't know if you've heard it.
No, reset for the 4 o'clock hour.
Yeah, reset
for
the 4 o'clock hour. Yeah. Just coming up. Yep.
I want a review of Top Gun Maverick.
Okay, it's excellent. Clinton, you'll be happy to know more minority representation in this one.
That's good. Good start.
I would say, you know, you find a player every once in a while, Cap, that has no weaknesses. This movie has no weaknesses.
Oh, wow.
It's a solid 9, and maybe after a couple of cocktails, it's flirting with a 10.
Okay, so let me get my follow-up in here, which is that, number one, how's the soundtrack? That's very important. Was there any sort of moments?
Old school in the beginning.
Yeah.
They kind of go back to the original. And then a Lady Gaga number at the end. The soundtrack doesn't steal the movie, does not hurt it.
Yeah, there's just the Lady Gaga sound at the end. I don't know what else music there was. Well, but the music, it was a great.
Because John, you're saying 9, but Steve Mason, I heard say earlier today in my notes that it may be the greatest sequel of all time.
I think
it's in the conversation.
Right there. It's number 2 to The Godfather.
Of movies
I thought
movies with just one.
Movies just.
You know, a Star Wars product came out.
Yeah, I'm putting.
You're
Star
putting
Wars
it in a different category,
different
galaxy,
Marvel,
if you will.
I'm not going to go Endgame for Marvel, but in terms of sequels,
I'll buy that. Godfather 2. I mean, that's hard to.
Yeah, you can't beat. Godfather
you can't beat
two.
That. It's not beatable.
Even though I like Godfather 1 better.
I would compare
Godfather
it. I like these series of movies, but I would compare it to the Lethal Weapon sequels. Remember, those are all really good.
This getting is a little too old for this S. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let me ask you this though, and this is something I know Cap and I both care about.
Yep.
What was the experience like? How'd you pull up? How were the people there? How was the function?
All right.
Did anybody get mad at anybody?
Good.
Else?
Yeah.
Well, no.
Was
no,
it packed?
The most talked about thing is that Mason literally could not wait to get out of there.
True.
The first credit rolls and Mason's up and he's gone. He did not
directed
say,
by Joseph Kosansky. See you guys.
He did not say a word before he left.
I'm
to
sure
either
I said,
Jorge or Bergman.
Well, they went to the can. I can't control
so
that.
So if there was a post credit scene, you would have just missed it.
But
I
took everybody
to
dinner at Katsuya. Mason was invited. I go, hey, I'm taking a break at Katsuya. You want to go? He goes, gotta go.
Wow.
And he did. He was moving.
Jetted out of there. Okay. Yeah.
That is because it has been proven time and time again that Steve Mason is a very different man off the air.
What do you mean?
He is on the air.
Yeah, we were
I'm
talking about that
guy
earlier.
All the time.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'm
no,
buying
that's
that.
Not true.
What?
You're more reserved off the air. And I thought originally, Mason's saying this is not the case, but I think that Jorge and I both felt since he missed 420. 720 became
720. I did make it. I did make 720. I did make 720.
What did you guys? Where'd you guys sit?
Sat in the first row.
First row, second level.
Second level.
Yeah,
smart man.
So you can put your
feet up on a handicap
familiar.
Bar. Yeah,
love that setup.
Seat.
Yeah,
love that
seat.
Setup.
Cappy, you really think I'm different on the air than I am off the air?
Well, I think that everybody is saying that you're much more quiet, much more reserved.
Just because I bailed on these guys doesn't mean I'm a different person on the air. I'm done.
Let me give Mason a little credit because he's done this before and he's actually quite good at it.
The Ireland exit?
Yeah, the Irish exit. He can ghost out of a function pretty much better than me, and you'll just look around.
Necessary skill.
You're looking around going, hey, where's Mason? And I'll just say, I think he left.
Yeah.
And then I'll see him the next day. I go, hey, when did you leave? He goes, as soon as it ended, I was gone. I go, man, I stayed around and talked to people for 20, 30 minutes.
Wait, were there fans
gone.
There?
No.
Matter of fact, here other events.
This was one thing that surprised me. Mace wasn't as surprised as me, but 4 o'clock, day of the preview, huge reviews for this movie. Mostly empty theater.
Really?
Well, maybe 25 people in there?
That doesn't super surprise me if you guys were downtown. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Downtown, 4 o'clock. It's
7
a workday.
It's probably
going to
be a bigger show. People have already seen it who care about seeing it on Thursday or whatever. They're going to their locals. You know what I mean? I can understand that, but you just dipped out?
Quick.
You were just gone.
Yeah, very.
Yeah, I mean. What do I need? I mean, I saw the movie. Yeah. I ate my popcorn. I brought my sprinkles.
Did you hear me talking about that, Cap? Mason made a very baller move last night.
What do you do?
So we're leaving the show, and I say, I've got all the tickets. So I said, all right, I'm going to text you guys your tickets because my wife's waiting over there, and I'll meet you in the seats. Mason goes, I think I might have a popcorn salt in my car. And I went, really? He goes, yeah, I'm going to go check. So he walks in with a big jar of popcorn, sure enough, out of his hoodie, pulls his favorite, like, topping.
White cheddar.
And what size are we talking about here? You've got a home, like a hand
like,
one?
It's like a hand one. It's about this
but
tall.
Clinton, to me, that's like Michael bringing the ketchup into the steakhouse. It's kind of a baller move.
Yeah. A baller move.
I love that white cheddar
stuff. Are you bringing it around? Let me ask you this. Are you normally using it at theaters?
I bring it to movie theaters all the time.
So you don't use it elsewhere? You don't go to Mickey D's and throw it on the fries or whatever?
No, I do not. Although that's not a bad idea.
Do you carry a bottle of Chick-fil-A sauce everywhere you go?
No, Mason's not a big Chick-fil-A guy.
I'm not a Chick-fil-A guy.
Okay. No.
I am.
No, they got a thing with
hot
the gays.
I'm not. I thought that was very impressive that he had his own topping with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what do you think he did when he went to his car to get the salt?
What do you think I did?
No, I think he waited until he got home.
Not the case? No.
Hold on.
Not the case.
Because if I may,
I would.
That's a great time to pop away.
No, but I'm driving.
Now
I
you
car.
Got, now wait, you took me around
you
to
got
go.
2 hours
I
to
want
go,
to publicly thank Clinton Yates
okay.
because today he brought me two different kinds of edibles that he thinks might solve my sleep issues.
Nice. Paid off that bet because you asked, what can I do? And I said, I'm going to bring something in. I brought him what I would call more of sort of the candy variety, and also more sort of the...
Is this an indica strain? Yeah.
Okay,
so the way you described them was, this is what my girlfriend takes, and this is what I take.
Sure.
Which one is more candy?
The candy one is the one in the smaller tin.
Okay, the one your girlfriend
The one
takes.
In the tin.
Yeah.
The one in the bag is more of the...
That's one you're familiar
grade.
With.
And then how much THC per dose?
I don't know these kind of things, bro.
Five milligrams, ten milligrams, I want to know exactly.
I just look at
the bag. He was very clear.
I just look at the bags, and I just...
He was very clear that I should only take one.
Before we send you down a...
It is very nice of you, Clinton.
You're acting like I bought these off of a truck.
No, Clinton, this is very nice of you. Very nice.
Very nice.
And you may get me off Ambien, which I would thank you for forever.
I'm just saying, I'd rather you be doing that than be dealing with the Ambien.
Right, Mace, here's the one. Here's the other one.
I don't like how that
works.
Oh, I have this one. Yes.
That's the one that's more candy.
Yes.
The Caminos are delicious.
Exactly.
Now, John Ireland, now look at your phone, because while Clinton was getting you his favorite brand, and his suggestion, I got you my suggestion, which I will bring to you next week.
All right, but you know that you and Clinton take the same brand. Now, is this one different though? It's in a
tin. That's just a different flavor. But you know what those are? Those are sort of more of an actual candy. I believe.
Sour watermelon cap sounds
so good.
Excellent.
Those are like so good.
Like they
take
are,
that one
yeah, take that
and
one.
Just take one.
The verb. Yeah, okay. I think the actual.
Why
verb
is it? You think this one's too potent for me?
The opposite.
Okay.
Yeah, see, thank you. We agree.
This one has
totally
a little more pop.
Agree.
A little more pop.
Okay. Thank you. I was not coming in correct.
Just looking at THC.
I want you to take two of these, though, John.
Milligrams of THC, all that kind of stuff.
I'm just saying.
I want you to be properly dosed. Take two of these, 10 milligrams tonight.
No, two will not happen.
One tonight.
But I will say, anything natural that I've ever tried, like melatonin.
This is from the earth.
Hasn't worked. I need the hard stuff. So this will be a good experiment.
Yeah, you'll figure something out. Take some notes, just like Cappy does. You know what I mean? Figure out what goes on because you don't want to be in a situation.
You will get an update from me over the weekend at some point.
Solid.
And thank you for thinking, man. Seriously, very nice.
Yeah, I knew. I was like, I'm coming in today. It's Friday, my favorite day of the week. So I said, let me bring some goods.
Yeah.
Hey, fellas, can I just ask one more question related to the Top Gun film yesterday?
Please.
Did you guys have a chance to meet Bergman's lady friend, Dottie?
Yeah, Dottie.
Cap.
Fantastic girl.
Cap, you were dead on.
I was not familiar. This was part of the equation.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's who attended.
Okay.
Jorge.
One.
Okay. Bergman.
Two.
Mason.
Three.
Me. My
four,
wife, Lisa.
Five.
And Dot, the
six.
Girl Bergman's
dating. You guys had a starting five plus a sixth person of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
True.
And then five of the six of us went to dinner at Katsuya afterwards. Mace got out of there within 10 seconds.
I couldn't stay.
Yeah.
That's too bad.
I'm
worried about mercury.
Full
in
Caruso. Full Caruso. One arena.
Tuna.
Got out of
tuna. You have to be careful with the mercury. That's why I did it.
That's very good.
That's good.
So, Ireland, your Wikipedia page, I just found out, has you at 68 years old.
Excellent. So it's 10 years off? It said I was born in...
It's 10 years off.
It says I was born in 53 instead of 63?
Yeah.
Does it also say that he's also mistaken for Jim Hill? Does he say that?
No, that's an unbelievable story, but it's true.
Let me ask you a question. Who's a better listener of your show than me? Who loves Mason and Ireland more than me?
Oh, I would say I was.
Oh!
Hey!
Look who's here.
I mean, when Mason and Ireland were on TV, only me and Mason's mom would watch.
That's very true.
It's very true. It's very true.
Better
my mom loved that
show. When they took us off TV, I don't think anyone noticed.
Only me and Mason's mom.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So what are you doing, Sedano? Are you here or not here? Or what's going
on? I just got back from the airport, yeah.
So does that mean it's a three-person show today?
Three-man weave?
You can't CY out, or what happened?
Yeah, no. I can go home? I've been here all day.
No way, man. No way, man. We got you in.
Three-man weaves are fun.
Hey, Sedano.
What are you doing with Momo?
So I come home last night from the Top Gun screening, and I immediately put on the NBA basketball, and it's a blowout again. And I'm like, when are there going to be games that are competitive at the end?
Maybe the next round.
That's got one more shot.
Yeah, maybe
tonight. You think it's a blowout too?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, Jimmy Butler's on one leg. Kyle Lowry's on one leg. No Tyler Hero.
Yeah. Okay, so George, out. Yeah, they'd say he's probably not going to play. George, okay. I'm curious.
No, he's
something.
out.
He's out.
Official.
Out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. George, if you came to me right now and said, it's Boston, Golden State in the final, I would pick Golden State, but I wouldn't feel great about it.
I agree.
I think it's really close.
Yeah, yes.
You'd be the same way?
I would agree with that. Although I will say this, I thought it was so cool yesterday. I sent Michael a bunch of pictures of Clay.
We actually played your conversation with Clay.
I thought Clay might cry when he was talking to you.
Yeah, it was close.
He was tearing up. He definitely teared up when I asked him about like what is this like now after everything you've been through, you know? And he was, I mean, both the first two questions, he teared up. Like his eyes were red and bloodshot, and he was very, very emotional. I sent Michael a bunch of pictures, and you know, I gave Clay a little bro hug after it was over. Like, I was really happy for him. Like, the Warriors are a really good franchise, clearly based on what they've done over the last 8 years or so. But I just think as a human story, I thought him specifically having that game yesterday to clinch it and seal it, I thought was awesome.
Right. I always love stories of people that hit rock bottom and then get back up.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a big Sinatra guy. I've read every book about him. He actually tried to kill himself. He went into an apartment and turned on the gas and shut all the windows and was going to try and basically die.
Ava Gardner
had broken up with him. He couldn't get he was losing his voice, so he couldn't get a record deal. He had auditioned for a couple of
movies.
Couldn't get them.
Till the mob actually went to that studio exec.
I was going
to
leave that part out.
Johnny Fantane. Yeah, act like a man.
George, you had the exact number of how many days he'd miss. I think it was over
941.
Eight. Yeah, 900. So there had to be days where Clay thought, I can't believe this is how this ends.
Yeah.
I've had this magic carpet ride, and my career is probably over. And now he's back. And this is the emotion that came out when he was talking to you, George. I'm back in the finals with my boys, with these guys who've been to six finals in 8 years.
Yeah.
And we have another bite at the apple, and that's why I would pick Golden State. I think they realize that there's a famous clip that the NBA has where Tim Duncan and the Spurs knocked out LeBron when LeBron was young, swept him, and LeBron came back into the hallway where Duncan was and goes, hey, congratulations, man. And Duncan looked at him and goes, hey, thanks for letting us get this one, because the league is yours
I'm
now.
I'm done. Yeah.
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 And so that's why I would lean Golden State, Georgia. I think they're going to realize this may be their last dance. But the Celtics are so good defensively that they could win.
And the reality is, on our show, the theme for the last 2 weeks has been bleep Boston. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you just on that alone, you got to root for the Warriors.
So, last thing. We said Top Gun, Maverick, maybe the second best sequel of all time.
Coming to America?
I was told that Top Gun sequel was better than the original.
That's
a good question.
I would agree with that, actually.
I actually would, too. The technology has come a long way.
You actually have to go back and watch the original first.
Right, Clinton, you're going to have to do what you don't want to do. Watch the original.
I didn't say I didn't want to watch the original. I said I'm watching the second one first. That's what I said.
Jorge did that.
Why are you watching the second one before you watch the first one? Why not watch the first one before the second one?
The second one
will mean more if you watch the first one first, because there are echoes of the original one.
Yeah, but you don't know whether or not in this particular case, me seeing the second one, I can tell you independently, as independent counsel, if the second movie's just better, second movie's just better. I'll probably get the references, but, you know, that's why I'm going to make that.
So these are the suggestions that came in for best sequel.
All right.
Godfather 2.
Yeah.
Inarguable.
Top one. Yeah.
Terminator 2.
Pretty good.
Was
very good.
Great.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Dark Knight is a sequel to Batman Begins. I'm going to put
that
in the
Marvel category.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
Aliens, plural.
Aliens, good movie.
It's great. And Toy Story 2.
Toy Story 2 is very good.
Very, very good. Toy Story 3 made me bawl.
No Teenage Mutant Ninja
Story
Turtles Secret of the Ooze, that's a problem.
Yeah, Toy Story 3 is absolutely a tearjerker.
Oh,
there's
my
no
God, I cried like crazy.
Me
at
too.
At Toy Story
my God. It's
no
great.
Home Alone?
Wait a second. Are you? You're laughing because have you seen Toy Story 3?
I don't think so. I think I stopped it too.
Oh, yeah. If you don't cry, you've got a heart of stone.
Yeah. Wow. You do.
It's up there.
Agreed.
It's up there with the Lego movie in terms
really
of like
is.
Movies that you're just not going to not cry.
Hey, guys, I would love to hang out all day.
Mason's
got
a ghost.
8 minutes. 8 minutes.
But I'm going to disappear right now. We're back Tuesday. Everybody have a great Memorial Day weekend. What?
Could you imagine, though, like, if you would have been, like, where I was in San Francisco, where, you know, 420 all day, and then you had to go to Texas where there's no 420?
No 420.
You know?
Yeah, that's right. That's a tough adjustment.
There's plenty.
Yeah. There's 420 at Ian's house tonight.
Yeah, you there is. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't partake in contraband, okay?
It's not contraband. Right. It's from Clinton.
It's from Clinton.
It's not contraband.
It's a gift.
I bought it across the street.
It's a gift. Yeah. All right, so we're back Tuesday at 1 o'clock. Hey, coming up next for you is a big edition of Shedano and Cap. Because the big CY, Clinton Yates, is here. We'll see y'all Tuesday, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Oh, yeah. Yeah! Bow, ba-dum, bow. Bow, 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 bow. Everybody.
Bow, 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 bow.
Yes.
It's a trio, guys.
Yes. Yes.
That must have made you so happy.
My God, I'm so happy right now. Oh, my God. Such a burst of energy.
That's great. That's great.
Well,
Georgie
this is
boy,
be a sprint because I'm completely hungover from.
Oh my God, dude, you made it, man!
Yeah, we had. So let me tell you about like this post game setup that we had. Yesterday.
Travel stories in the scramble, must hear.
Yep.
Yeah. So post game setup yesterday. Now look, you as a crew, you're like, series is over. We need to celebrate. Okay, like it doesn't matter who wins. We're going home. Okay. Mm-hmm. So because we're going home, we're gonna go big tonight. So we went to this Italian place, of course, because PJ Carlissimo knows every Italian restaurant in the world, and they all stay open late for him.
Early name drop, but okay.
No, but that's the deal. Like,
yeah,
no,
it's true. PJ on the road is a godlike figure.
It is true.
Yes, he is. Somebody actually wrote a story about like him and Pop and those guys doing the late night dinners and the crazy bottles of wine and all that stuff. I don't remember who wrote the story, but somebody did write the story a couple years ago. So we go to this place called Pazzia, and of course the owner is Italian, okay? Not like I'm like, second generation. No, he is from Tuscany, okay? And his name is Massimo. Of course his name is Massimo.
Nice.
And he's got
long
gray hair.
Ah, grazie.
Like, he looks like an Italian god, you know what I mean? Like, he's got the beard. He's got, you know. A button-down shirt, black button-down shirt that's open, couple of buttons open.
Right.
Gray jacket, some jeans. Like, this man loves his restaurant. Okay?
You have painted a beautiful picture. Keep going.
Okay. So Massimo's there, and he says, hey, guys! A big hug. Everybody gets a hug. Okay?
Bellissimo, è bellissima, sì.
And, you know, so we're there. It's the second time on the trip we've been to Pazzia. And there are these guys there. And they know PJ. One guy works for the MGM. His name was Larry. That's all I remember.
All right. Lawrence.
He works for MGM, and his name is Larry.
Larry from MGM. He's
after
in my phone.
Massimo, there's
Larry
Lawrence.
Of MGM.
Yeah, Larry of MGM. And then there's a guy named Sean who owns the Ritz-Carlton both in – no, Four Seasons in Miami, Ritz-Carlton in Boston – and I think he said the St. Regis in San Francisco.
What a life.
Good guy to know.
What
very
a life.
Good guy to know. Have
so
his phone number.
These guys come join us as we're eating. They were eating at another table. They come because of PJ. They introduce everyone. We all start chatting, blah, blah, blah. So the hotel magnet orders. We had already had two bottles of wine, okay? Hotel magnet comes by and orders, tells Massimo, Massimo! Get me hold on. I took a picture of it, so I want to make sure.
Right,
I
he says, get me the 1909 whatever.
He's getting
of,
something fancy. That's
right,
all we
of,
know.
Out of the
it's
slot.
It's a 2012 called okay. Masetto Toscana, okay? And, you know, so Massimo's coming out. He's like, guys, this is the best wine in the world. It's from Tuscany. It's the best Italian wine you'll ever have. And I'm like, okay, let's give it. It's a Merlot, by the way. I'm not a Merlot drinker normally.
Sure.
But I'm like, all right. I mean, if you say it's the best Italian wine in the world, I'll give it a shot. So I do drink it. It is delicious. And then I decide to Google what the 2012 cost of said wine was.
Yeah, which probably I was about to do. I wanted to know.
Play, are we going to play the prices right on this? Or
I mean, if you want to, okay, yeah. Let's do that. All right. I will just make this easy for you and say under $1,000 for
okay.
the bottle.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Kaplan, you're going
now,
first.
Granted, that's the retail price. I don't know what the price was at the restaurant, but I'm talking about the retail price.
Sure.
Okay. Right. So
2012 okay. Tuscany Merlot. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm gonna just based on hotel magnet. He doesn't want to embarrass himself to Massimo. He's trying to show off to PJ. I'm going $800.
I'm gonna go $500.
Okay, Cap was closer, but he's over.
Oh
okay.
No!
All right.
It is. It depends on where you get it. But it ranges between like $700 and $850.
Jeez! Whoa! Nice wine. Nice
it
bottle.
Was delicious, by the way.
Right.
Okay, so then we're all good. Dinner's over. Hey, guys, nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. Walk back to the hotel. Okay, so we walk back to the hotel, and then I realize my NBA people, as in, like, the league people, like, hey, we're at this bar, which was in the other direction that I was – in the complete opposite direction where I was walking. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to change real quick some jeans and head out. I'll meet you for a drink.
The lesser than Sedano's, Scott, are at the Slummin' It bar.
Right.
They're not with the mob bosses in the nice Italian restaurant.
No,
so George
no.
has to change clothes to make sure that he fits in.
But remember, he's going out with people now. These are people in the league. These are his people. These are NBA people. They're
right.
in the league.
Correct. So they're okay. NBA employees.
Right.
So then they're like, hey, meet us at some bar. I think it was called the Woodbury or whatever. So, which is, you know, a very casual bar, whatever. We go there. They're having the one thing about San Francisco, people say LA closes early. San Francisco closes way too early.
Hmm.
What time was this? We talking here?
I mean, this True. Was almost midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy from the NBA is like, yo, it's last call here. I'm like, already?
And
he's like,
up.
Yeah, what yeah. do you want? So I'm like, all right, get me a Glenlivet 12 on the rocks. I want something light. So
Glenlivet 12 on the rocks, huh?
Yeah, that's light. That's light scotch.
Light. That's very
it's
light.
It's light
okay.
scotch.
Yeah.
It's not
all
like
right.
heavy
all
scotch.
All right.
So we go to the Woodbury. We're hanging out. We're having a good time. We're talking about the game and the series and the league and blah, blah, blah. So then they're literally kicking us out of this place. And we asked the waitress, where can we go? It's so early. And she's like, well, there's two places, a place called Tenet and a place called Peacekeeper. And I'm like, well, what's Tenet? They're like, well, that's like a nightclub. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. So they're like, the place called Peacekeeper, that one's open till 1. And I'm like, all right, cool. So we jump in an Uber and we go to Peacekeeper, have another drink. This time, no Glenlivet. They didn't have any. So I had to go Mac 12 on that one.
All right.
So I am now dinner, 3 bottles of wine, and 2 scotches in.
Couple fingers deep, as they
yeah.
say.
So it was a long. So when I tell you that I woke up hungover this morning, there's a yeah. reason I woke up.
Wow,
hungover this morning.
Nice, George. Nice. Yeah.
That's a serious level of consumption for on the road post game energy moving. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
Right. Because there's like, not a lot of time. That
right.
was literally a 3-hour window.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you know, it's one of those things where the series ends. You've been schlepping back and forth city to city. You've been living out of a suitcase, living in hotels. It's finally over. I'm going home. I'm off the road. And I'm ready to finally party. And so I can understand where last night kind of went the way it went.
Absolutely.
To the peacekeeper or
you got to keep morale up, Scott. You know what I'm saying? And that point, you're like, forget it. We got this done. Getting banged up, getting out of here. I am impressed that after all of that, George, you made it back to the homestead in time to join us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the only flight I could get, and honestly, it worked out really well because I was hungover, was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. So I was like, had I tried to do an 8 a.m., like when with all that transpired, it would have been a rough hour flight, I'm guessing.
Oh, so you were hungover. Now, do you have any sort of thing you do for a hangover?
I mean, I just drink Gatorade.
Okay, Gator juice. See, some people go Pedialyte.
Yeah.
You know what freaks me out, though?
I just went to the CVS next door and get some Gatorade Zero. Yeah.
Okay, because nice. What freaks me out are the people who do this. You ready? Oh, I'm so hungover. I need
they
a Bloody Mary.
Oh,
I'm
no,
like,
not Bloody.
Bloody Mary. Know. Like, oh, hair of the dog. I need a beer. I'm like, you mean to tell me after as wasted as you were last night and as hungover as you are today,
no,
your
Bloody
answer
Marys
is drink more?
Yeah,
awful.
The two separate discussions. Bloody Marys are not good.
No.
Period. Never mind for hangovers. But number two, there is something to the hair of the dog, particularly if, and Sedano knows this well, if you're at an airport and you're hungover and you've got to find a way to kill some time, bro, you're not just sitting there drinking coffee trying to sober up so you can sit in an airport. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes get another one of those movements so you can just kind of pass on out once you get onto that plane. I understand that for sure.
Yeah, I can't drink the next day like that.
Do you want to know another cool thing that happened while I was traveling, and I forgot to mention this to you when I was talking to you guys because it was so quick, was I sat next to Charles Barkley's security guy on one flight.
Oh, man.
What an amazing conversation that was.
Wow.
Charles Barkley's personal security guy?
Yes. He's been with him since he was playing with the Houston Rockets.
How big a guy is he?
He's a pretty big dude. He's an older gentleman.
Okay.
But former law enforcement.
Sure.
Big dude. Really nice guy, but I could see why you wouldn't want to screw with him.
Is he, like, close to Barkley, like, at all times, like, within 2 to 3 feet?
Well, not in this – obviously, Charles wasn't on this flight because Charles wanted to leave at 6 a.m., and his security guy, I won't say his name, was like, hell no, I'm not waking up that early.
You're on your own, Chuck.
I've known you too long for this nonsense,
yeah,
right?
Right.
And he's like, okay, yeah, you're good. And so, yeah. But, yes, he's been with Charles for, God, 20-something years.
I didn't even know Barkley had a security guy.
Well, Shaq does too, Uncle Jerome.
Did you not watch the broadcast the other night where Chuck was almost throwing fastballs into the crowd?
I did see that, but I didn't know he had a security guy. Seriously.
Yeah, so him and Shaq were the first two guys to be like personal security people.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah, Uncle Jerome. Some people in Lakerland may know that name. Yeah, Uncle Jerome is still around, still Shaq's security guy.
Nice. That's kind of funny, though, because you know Jerry Jones has a security guy, and he's like this tiny little guy. And I'm like, wait a second, this is your security guy? I mean, I feel like I could take this guy, even though
I'm
not tough.
Just because a guy's a tiny little guy doesn't mean he can't whoop your ass.
I'm not saying he wouldn't. Listen, like I said, I'm not tough, but I just look at him and I go, really? This is your security guy? But you're saying Chuck's security guy looks like a tough guy.
When you watch, like, the UFC, you know what I mean? Like, there's some flyweights that will just, I mean, you don't think those guys will kill you?
Of course they'll kill me. But what I'm saying is that I'm looking at this guy and he's, like, 65 years old and he's short and he's 30 pounds overweight and he just doesn't look like Macho, but he's Jerry Jones's personal security guy. So Chuck's personal security guy, does he look like much?
I mean, he's an older gentleman probably at this stage, but I wouldn't screw with him, no.
Yeah, and I think, Scott, you're misunderstanding the level of security guys for some people. Like, you got to like the person who's going to be your body man. Your body man is not necessarily your full security detail. And I think that's probably what Jerry Jones is
doing. Oh, okay, so body man different.
Body man is the person who's with you at all times. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Your security detail is a little larger.
Okay, so, like, a great story that he told me, which I can tell because it's, like, very PG, was, like, you know, back in the day, right? Like, when Charles and Michael and
getting after it.
And like, even Tiger, right? Like, he's like, who do you think is the toughest to do security for? And I said, well, I'm guessing it's Chuck. And he's like, of course it is. He goes, because the other two, they're not leaving the VIP. They're staying right there behind that velvet rope, whereas Charles wants to buy everybody in the house a drink.
Yeah.
And be their buddy and
I've
take
seen
pictures.
That happen more than one time.
Yeah.
I love it.
I do too. That's cool, man. Listen, I'll tell you what, George. We should actually play this, but one of the things I loved is you went very Barbara Walters, meaning, you know, Klay Thompson, you're hitting him right away with emotion, and he's on the verge of breaking down. But the truth of the matter is, as a viewer, or as I was last night, I was actually listening to this on the radio, it is an emotional thing because Klay is, and his performance last night was, the story, I think. I mean, the fact that he's come back after all this time.
Yeah, I agree.
And so I think we should play it.
Okay, well, we could do that on the other side. We have to break, so let's do that. We'll break. We'll be back in dos minutos.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
So today would have been Lisa Left Eye Lopez's birthday today.
Yeah, the late great.
Yeah.
Forever linked to the sports world for...
Andre Bad Mood Rising.
Correct.
Yes. Andre Rising. Yes,
she
very
said,
good.
Oh, you got a problem? How about I burn your house down?
Could you imagine the Real Housewives of Atlanta if she would have been
offense.
Someone
yeah.
right. on the show back then?
Right. I don't think she's making a threat. I think she's for real.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
going to do
was,
it.
That was wild. So
yeah, that yeah. story still resonates today. Like it's, people know that that is like one of the like wildest athlete stories ever. Like,
still doesn't sound real, you know what
right.
I mean? But very
right.
very much was. Very
it
much
very
was.
Much was. Yes. I don't think there's any doubt. Can we talk before I know you wanted to play the Klay Thompson interview, but can we talk about, because I think Lindsay just sent Laura an updated version of the Klay interview, but can we talk about Keyshawn getting crossed up by Jay Williams?
I would okay. love to talk okay. about this.
Because I saw this yesterday.
Yeah. We started talking about it a little bit, Clinton and I, yesterday.
Let's
jump
it.
Into it. Go yeah. ahead, George. I want to hear what you think.
I saw this yesterday, and I was like, that can't be real. Like, he had to
Thank
have faked
you.
That. Like, that
Thank
could
you.
Not that could not have been legitimately the way he tried, like, the way he defended that and tripped over himself and fell. Because if this were inside the NBA... if I were ESPN, I would have done what TNT does all the time, which is literally play this thing in a loop and like Keyshawn falling in like all sorts of different
backdrops.
Like, backgrounds yeah. and backdrops. Yes. Because that was one of the funniest things I had seen all of yesterday. I woke up and that's the first thing I saw when I opened Twitter, and I howled with laughter.
So the first thing I thought, George, excuse me, Kaplan, I just want to review because I know you're going to get to, I thought this was kind of unfair. I was like, they didn't warm up. They just walked out there and rolled out the cameras. Yeah. Key got put in a bad spot. I'm yeah. like, my man's on his home court, ready to go. Actual NBA player. I'm just glad Key didn't get hurt. Like, for yeah. real, for real. You know, yeah. Scott?
I'm totally disagreeing with both of you guys. I'm sure you're not shocked by this, but I feel this way. Look, Jay Williams was going to be a great NBA basketball player. Didn't happen for him because of his injuries and motorcycle accident, whatever. Keyshawn was the number one overall pick and was a great NFL player. Athlete for athlete, I got to figure that Keyshawn played basketball somewhere. He looked unathletic, and I'm surprised because I feel like a lot of big-time wide receivers would say, I played high school basketball. You put me on the floor with Jay Williams. I don't think you're going to see that much of a difference. I was pretty disappointed in Keyshawn's performance.
Jay Will went to Duke.
He was
Keyshawn
went to USC.
First round pick.
He was the first overall.
He was the
pick.
Number two pick in the draft.
And the National Basketball Association.
I got it.
I know Key's an athletic guy, but just because you played high school ball in LA doesn't mean you can ball with people.
Well, I don't even know if he did.
And here's
I'm saying, even if so, in terms of the level you're referring to, like, Jay Will's going to be tough to guard in that little 2-on-2, George.
And here's the thing. The other part of the equation is this. He's just not in the type of shape he wants.
That is absolutely accurate.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, there's that
That's
too.
True. Well, that's what I'm getting at. So, like, yeah. He's not working out. We had this conversation with Key in studio a few weeks ago. He's not working out the way he used to.
No. He definitely, I asked him if he could do a toe touch it still, and he said no.
Right. Wow. He definitely looked like he wasn't bending his knees. He didn't have his hands up. I mean, he definitely did not look like he was in a good defensive position.
No.
And as a result, because he was standing straight up, that's why he got crossed over and went down. I'm telling you guys, athletically, I was disappointed. But Key's not going to hear this and go, what do you mean you were disappointed? He's disappointed, too.
I don't know. He fell and he stayed down. Smart move, number one.
Yes. Oh, no doubt.
And number two, when approached with the, you just got camera in your face, he just looked and said, damn. He didn't try to. Yeah. He wore it.
That's you know? The only answer you can have.
Exactly. He didn't try to play it off.
Hey guys, by the way, Jay Will missed the shot. He had Keyshawn on the ground, and he threw up a brick.
That's fine. That's fine. This is internet basketball culture these days.
Gotcha.
A crossover is a bigger deal than completing the play. But separately, George, I mean, this is going to be a non-contest for me. I think that they were throwing a little smoke screen as well to Barton Hahn. You know what I mean? Like, oh, Keyshawn, fumbling, bumbling, stumbling, blah, blah, blah. They're going to get out there and get popped. It's going to be hilarious.
And if you haven't seen it, it's on my Twitter. It's like the third or fourth thing on my Twitter from yesterday. It is absolutely laugh out loud funny.
Hey, guys, look, sometimes you're a really good football player, but you never played baseball in high school, and they ask you to throw out a first pitch, and you look like you've never thrown a ball in your life. And people are like, how could that guy look so unathletic when he's such a good athlete?
Yeah.
Everybody, when you get to the point where these guys were, they became specialists, one-trick ponies, if you will. I'm surprised because I thought Keyshawn would have been athletic enough to not be crossed over that way. George, you bring up the fact.
It's happened to me. Listen, not like that, but it has happened to me. Like there are still friends of mine. Now, I haven't played like actual basketball since I turned 40, basically.
Right.
But so I used to play. I used to set up a game in my old high school gym when I lived in Miami for 10 years. Every Tuesday night at 9 o'clock, we would play from like 9 to midnight, full court. And these were competitive games with people from the media. Sometimes athletes would show up. Because they'd want to get in on it a little bit. And it got testy a lot of times in there. And that happened to be one time. And there still to this day, there will be a couple of guys that played in that game and be like, oh, man, remember that time that Chris Stock crossed you up? And I'm like, yes, I do remember that time Chris Stock crossed me up. Thank you.
That's funny. And by the way, those are the best games, the open runs with just a loose connection of people you actually know that are, you know, sort of in the competitive, but maybe not too competitive. This is why I don't play basketball anymore, though, Sedano. You're exactly right. I get hurt every time I play.
Dude,
it's embarrassing. High school basketball. I just, like, these days, I can't move fast enough for it to be worth my time to put that much shock on my joints.
Dude,
you know what I mean? Which is
your
ankles, not good for business.
Your knees, your hips. If I blow out an Achilles playing basketball, I mean, I just screwed myself up for the next 6 months.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I got no time for that at all.
I agree.
Worse than getting crossed over and put down on the ground is when you think you're athletic and then you play with a guy. Like, I used to play basketball with a guy named O.J. McDuffie. Anybody remember that name?
Yeah.
The Giants. Also went to Penn State, right? Played for the Giants, yeah.
This guy.
The Dolphins.
He was like 5'9". Like maybe 5'9".
Right.
And to be dunked on by somebody who's that height. By the way, not that I'm tall and not that I can jump and not that I can defend and not that I can shoot. In fact, not that I can even play basketball. But to just be dunked on by a small guy like that, I don't know if that's worse than what Keyshawn had happen to him.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned earlier about Clay, and we were talking about injuries and getting hurt. Now, obviously, Clay, 941 days.
Amazing. Okay? It's an incredible story.
Almost 3 years, okay, of him not playing basketball, not knowing if he'll ever get back to playing. Mm-hmm. And he didn't play until January of this year.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to be the guy to close that out, I was so excited to do that interview. And I will also tell the story about how Cappy texted me after the interview because I worked something in at the end that I believe he wanted me to work in. So let's hear the conversation with Clay last night in the postgame after the Warriors win.
Clay, after a two-year hiatus, you're going back to the NBA Finals for the sixth time. How does it feel?
Man, you're going to make me emotional, man. It's just hard to put into words, man. Like, I dreamt of this day during some dog days. And to be here, I'm so thankful for our squad, man. They started the season so incredibly well, allowed us to finish out strong, and we are 4 wins away from a championship. I just can't believe it. it's a moment I'm going to revel in tonight. But as soon as game six for that series starts tomorrow, it's time to flip the switch.
You mentioned those dog days. Everyone knows the number, 941 days where you didn't play basketball. What does that mean now to you?
I can't believe it. This is a dream come true. Just unbelievable, man. Can't wait to celebrate my family tonight. I'm so happy for the young guys on this team. Obviously, Steph, Dre, Andre, Luna and I have been here before, but we would not be here if it wasn't for Wiggs, JP, Loon. I can go down the list. Moses, Juan, D. Lee, everybody in this organization, man. It's just unbelievable, unbelievable.
8 3-pointers tonight, the fifth time you've done that in the postseason. It's the most in NBA history, man. What an incredible night for you. How were you feeling out there when that was going down?
I felt great. Just getting rest in your own bed, waking up to the beautiful Bay Area. I felt amazing. I should have had like 10. I left some on the board, but whatever. I mean, I'm just grateful, man. This is unbelievable. I know it's not the big one, but to get there, wow, it's so exciting.
And then lastly, you guys still haven't lost at home. You called me a jinx last time. I'll let that one slide, but you got a couple of days off now, okay? You're going to have home court advantage. What are you doing in those couple of days leading up to that home court advantage?
I'm going to go fish tomorrow, get out in the water, get away from electronics, get away from devices, the internet. And then I'm going to have a nice dinner. Next day we'll probably have a good practice, take Rosler to the park, and let's enjoy this time, man. The weather's getting great, and this is just incredible.
Awesome.
So there you go, Cappy. I worked. You text me because you were listening.
Right.
And I worked in the jinx thing that you wanted me to work in.
Dude, hey, listen, I actually was listening to this live on the radio. Many people wind up seeing this on TV. I was listening live on the radio. And when you worked in the jinx, I'm letting you off the hook here, man. You know, you called me a jinx. I'm going to let it slide. I'm going to let it slide. I'm like, oh, yeah. And that is when I hit you up last night to tell you what an awesome job that was. But I'm going to say something, George. You know, if Michael Thompson wasn't our friend and he wasn't our colleague and peer, and if he were just some guy that I used to listen to on the radio years ago who I loved on the radio, but I didn't know him, I would be a huge Klay Thompson fan regardless.
Yes,
but the fact that we all know Michael, don't we all, not just the three of us, I mean everybody listening today, don't we all feel this great connection to Klay through Michael? And isn't that why we're even that much more proud of him than it's just an incredible comeback story? Because we all feel connected, don't you guys think?
A little bit. I mean, my feelings about Klay, you know, Michael is a guy who – he kind of buttresses why Klay is cool and not the other way around, if you know what I mean. It's like once you know how much work a guy like Klay Thompson has done, and I'm not just talking about post-injury, George. Klay Thompson was not some highly recruited dude. You know what I'm saying? He was not some mega star coming into the league. He's turned into a guy. So when he broke down the way that he did and in the way that it happened injury-wise, then I remember thinking, man, I'm glad he's got a guy like Michael in his corner to support him in terms of everything he's doing. And now you realize what that kind of family ties and that kind of lineage really, really allows you to draw upon. Quite cool. I absolutely agree.
Yeah. Super cool moment. Awesome. I was just super excited. As he was having that game, you know, and I didn't realize until I was walking, getting ready to walk onto the court, I saw it on the ESPN Stats and Info thing app that we have. And it said that it was an NBA record. And I was like, oh, wow, that's a pretty cool deal, too.
That
like,
is
on top
cool.
of all of that, to have another 8 3-point game, three-pointer game, and it being the most in NBA history is pretty awesome. It just was super cool. I was just excited that he was the guy I was going to get to talk to for the reasons that both of you outlined. So.
Well, and I'll just say this. One thing about, you know, feeling connected to all of it, feeling connected to Klay through Michael, but feeling connected because you're the guy conducting the interview. And at the end of the evening, when you sent out a tweet that said, I love my job, I actually thought that was really, really, like, cute and heartfelt. Like, I loved it. I thought it was really awesome. You know, I
love
my job.
Well, it was true because after we were done with that interview, I gave him a little, some five, some dap, and a bro hug because it's like, you know, I've been around him when they've won the championships. You know what I'm saying? Like, so to go through what he's gone through, it hit me. Like, it also hit me. Like, I need to make sure to tell this story for someone who doesn't know anything about what's transpired in his career over the last 3 years. I need people to know who this person is and what they're doing. And I feel like we did a good job. And he was so, like, excited and grateful and emotional even after we were done that it did. It made me feel like these are the moments that make this job awesome. Yep.
So what you said was you dapped him up. You said, thank you for the time. And then he said, as Scott would say, bring it in.
Bring it in. Bring it in, Georgie. Bring it in.
He didn't say bring it in, but he was like, thanks, bro. I appreciate it. And then we gave a little bro hug, and he kept it moving.
Hey, you want to know the best part? I don't know if anybody else was listening besides me, but PJ Carlissimo says as soon as George throws it back, he goes, wait a second. Clay's got it all wrong. You don't go fishing until you're done. It's the other guys that should be going fishing.
That's true.
Which was a great line.
Yes. Nice. By the way, Cappy, I have more for you about the Cappy experience while I was in San Francisco. So
I love it.
CY's hanging out. Cappy and I, we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, I'm old enough to remember what kind of insanity ensued after Madonna performed this on the MTV Music Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was a kid, but still can remember just the outrage of her looking like she was having sex basically on stage.
Right.
And people going nuts back then.
Think about how uptight we were as a society back then. Now, weed is legal everywhere. Gambling's about to be legal come this November. I mean, the world has changed, George.
Although there's still plenty of prudes. Like, let's not act like there's not.
There are. There are, for sure.
Some people don't even like people putting topless pictures of themselves on dating sites. But
hey, now.
That's another story.
Ooh.
That's another story.
Wait a minute. Topless is different than shirtless as a dude.
Is it?
Yes. Oh, are you kidding me? Why do you think you're allowed to see a picture of shirtless guys on TV, but you can't see a topless woman on TV?
I mean, if you're a dude and you're topless, you're shirtless.
You said topless, and I think that.
I meant
never
dudes.
Mind. We're talking logistics.
I'm messing
here.
With you.
Okay.
George, do you want to get brought into this conversation?
Yeah, I'm curious as to what I missed.
Here's what happened. So yesterday we were having, this is during Radio Tinder. The question was, if a guy poses shirtless with a selfie on a dating app, Lindsay here says that is an immediate red flag, immediate turnoff. So here's a good-looking dude with chesticles. Do you know what chesticles are, George?
No, but I saw that in the community, so I assumed it was Clinton's word.
I said chesticles, yes. And by the way, you all spelled it wrong. It's spelled like another word that I didn't want to spell. It's not spelled like pickles, you idiots. Okay.
Clinton taught us this word yesterday, and so many of us decided we're all stealing it. But he gave it to us. He handed it off.
Point was, though, George, is that if you're a good-looking guy and your shirt happens to be off and you're not, like, mirror selfieing, what's the problem? Let's say you're holding, I don't know, a fish you caught that Saturday morning or whatever, working out at Muscle Beach. Who knows what you're doing? By definition, being shirtless is not the problem. The problem is how you're doing it. That's what I was saying.
Clinton.
I disagreed.
What do you think, George?
Look, I think it's okay. If you're on a dating site, I could see where, like, you – I can
just
see both sides of the coin, is what I would say.
Posting it anywhere else, just the dating app. Because remember, you have like 6 pictures you're specifically curating, and it's a first impression of somebody that you want to be your mate.
Right.
Strictly dating app.
It does feel like you're extra thirsty.
Does it?
Yes.
Yeah. Either you're extra thirsty or you're just a show-off, one or the other.
Nothing. Yes. A lot of people like that.
Right. Well, that's just it. You're like, hey, check it out. Chesticles and abs.
Right.
Girls, come and get it.
Right. But I think I think when you get to a certain age, I don't know, I think that's an age-appropriate thing. Like, if you are, like, under 30, maybe I let it slide. Over 30, you know, I don't know. It just feels like you're being either a show off or you're being thirsty.
I'll give you that. I'll give you the age cutoff. Yeah. It's like the NBA. There's the age cutoff before you get into right. the league.
Well, people yeah. ran crazy with it because on the community they were like, that means the guy's a cheater, he's this, he's that. And I'm like,
well, I don't know about that.
Yeah. That's too much.
I'm not willing to connote that.
You know, this guy in the community posted a picture of him and his like knees, and he was like, look, I don't have a shirt. Is this bad? I'm like, no, it's all context, right?
Right.
And this guy's like, nah. It's not. And I'm like, okay.
Well, it's not. I agree. I just said, I almost replied, but I just was like over it. I was just like, want to be like, your photo is lovely. There's nothing wrong with this picture. It's a magnificent photo. However, I personally would find that a turnoff if that were on a dating app because of the fact that you have like six pictures that you're specifically curating. That's it. You have to go,
well, that is true.
Out of your way to post a shirtless picture of yourself on a dating app. Like, you have to find a shirtless picture to put on there.
As I told you, George, the prudes walk amongst us. Okay, so that's all I was getting at.
The guy who sent the picture yesterday with the little girl, it was a very lovely picture. The guy who is doing the selfie, he's the guy who's ripped with the abs and he's showing off. It was a whole different kind of picture and vibe with the one guy with the kid.
That's true.
Well, when you guys are swiping on back and forth looking for guy dates on, dating apps, then you can be the judge of that.
I'm good.
Yeah, sure. I'm not doing
so,
that.
So, yeah, exactly.
To be clear.
I won't hold my breath because that's not happening for me.
I think all of us are good, yeah.
Not happening.
Cappy, I saw your boy Steve Kerr yesterday.
Okay, tell me.
After
I was done with Clay.
Okay, right? Gotcha.
And I saw him. I said, hey, Steve, congratulations. He's like, hey, man, thanks. I was going to bring up your name right there. And I said, this is not the appropriate moment. He's about to hoist the trophy.
Well, it's so funny because I said to myself, I hope George says something to Steve Kerr, but I don't think he will because it's probably not the most professional thing to like,
well,
hey,
it,
congratulations.
It would be different.
You just won a championship.
Right.
But hey, you know my radio partner?
Yeah, it just would feel awkward and out of place. If it was like pregame and we're in a room talking about the game and shooting the crap, whatever, shooting the bleep, then that's different. But yeah, in that instance, I thought about it for a second just for the awkwardness and the funny story. But I was like, no, I'm not doing that.
Well, let me tell you something. Yesterday when you called in from the court and you said that you were watching Wiggins warm up, and
wiggity-wiggity-wiggity-whack, yes.
Don't do low-hanging fruit, George. I mean, Jesus, for the love.
Reversal. Turns the tables.
George, I heard that promo running today. I was driving down the road and I heard that promo running.
Yes.
It actually cracked me up, made me laugh out loud. I'm like, the whole interaction. Oh, my God, come on, man. For the love. I actually cracked me up, so turned out to be pretty good.
Why didn't you ask Steve Kerr about Cap as soon as you got off, considering you told us you had to leave to go talk to Steve?
No, that was the second time around.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I forgot. Right.
The first time
hits.
Around, he hadn't brought that up.
Yeah.
Cappy
okay.
brought that
good
up
point.
After.
Fair enough.
I had already talked to Steve.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
forgot about that.
It was. Kind
I should
of a
have taken.
Thing.
I should have brought you into the room, like just have, like while I was talking to Steve Kerr. I should have just stayed on.
The thing is, the funny thing is, when my kids were in high school, Steve Kerr's kids went to the same high school, and so there was a group of guys that were all like volleyball pals, and Judd Bushler was a part of that crew.
Yeah.
And there were some older
Luke Walton and Richard Jefferson play volleyball in Manhattan Beach all the time.
Yeah, and then there were a couple of former pro like AVP type volleyball players.
All these Arizona guys love volleyball.
Yeah,
and so there was a whole community of guys that were either like sports media people or former ball players that kids all went to school together and just kind of the location of where we all were. But Kerr went on back then, George, and I think he went to Phoenix to become the general manager of the Suns in between broadcasting gigs before he became the coach of the Warriors. So, yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah. So next time I see him, I'll bring it up.
I'm going to text him. I'm going to get him to come on the show.
I'll
make sure to bring it up with Harlan, too. Right between the eyes.
Clinton, when I say I'm going to text Curry and you go, yeah, right. Is that to say, like, no, you're not, or you will, but he won't return your text?
I'm going
to
say that I'm betting the number you have for him is no longer active.
You don't think, huh?
That's what I'm saying. You might text him. It might not go to him.
It may not be him responding to you. Excellent point. All right, we got to take a break. We got what you need to know. We got 30 minutes. It looks like Bleep Boston phase one hasn't worked out so well. So hopefully the Warriors, I think Boston's winning tonight. So hopefully the Warriors will take care of business for Operation Bleep Boston phase two in the NBA finals. But we'll get to that. We got what you need to know in between coming up next. We're back in 2 minutes.